نبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا المصطفى أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقرآنه الحميد وقوله الحق ما تيسر من سورة البقرة: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة صلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات، بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات، وبشر الصابرين. الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. أولئك عليهم صلوات من رب بهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. ثلاث صلوات:
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
اللهم صل على محمد
A holy night, the night of the 19th of Ramadan. Especially from the perspective of Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullahi salamuhu alayh. And this night, we'll continue with some of our discussion about this sermon of Imam Ali alayhi salam with regards to the description of the muttaqeen, which we started off last night. And we reached to the state or to the part where Imam Ali alayhi salam had described some of the muttaqeen's characteristics about how they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if they see Jannah and they feel it, and as if they see Jahannam and they feel it. فَهُمْ وَالْجَنَّةُ كَمَنْ قَدْ رَآهَا فَهُمْ فِيهَا مُنَعَّمُونَ وَهُمْ وَالنَّارِ كَمَنْ قَدْ رَآهَا فَهُمْ فِيهَا مُعَذَّبُونَ. That's where we got to. Imam then continues. He says, قُلُوبُهُمْ مَحْزُونَةٌ وَشُرُورُهُمْ مَأْمُونَةٌ أَجْسَادُهُمْ نَحِيفَةٌ وَحَاجَاتُهُمْ خَفِيفَةٌ وَأَنفُسُهُمْ عَفِيفَةٌ. He says that their hearts are always in sadness. Not that they're, you know, people who are pessimistic. No. But it's because whenever they reflect about what is going to come to them, especially after their death. Like we mentioned last night, when Imam Sajjad, salamullahi alayh, thinks about these things that will happen to him after his death, he says, I shall cry, and why shall I not cry? With all these difficulties that is going to come. Abki wa mali la abki. And he continues. So because they think about all these difficulties and the struggles that they're going to have to go through after their death, this does not bring true joy to their hearts. You know, the true joy comes to them through the taqwa of Allah and the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why they're always sad. They do smile. You know, they might, you know, talk nicely to people. But in the inside, their heart is in grief and in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have, in fact, in the ahadith from our Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, when you meet your brother, your mu'min brother or sister, do smile, you know, greet them with a happy face. Don't be like this, like some of those people with big beards, mashallah, and mini skirts. You know, whenever you see them, you hardly ever see a person smile. I remember I saw one person smiling in Mecca, and I told him, mashallah, you guys actually smile? It's halal? It's allowed? And he said, no, ya sheikh, la, ya sheikh, why are you saying this? So, anyways, but in the heart, because of their taqwa, their ibadah, their thought about akhirah, they're sad. شُرُورُهُمْ مَأْمُونًا. The true characteristic of a muttaqi is that you never have to worry about him or her cheating you or lying you or hurting you in any way. And this, of course, stems from the hadith of the Rasul, peace be upon him, the very one that's very famous. الْمُسْلِمُ مَنْ سَلِمَ النَّاسِ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ. A true Muslim is one who does not talk about people. People are safe from his tongue and from his hand. He does not go steal from people. He does not hurt people. And a muttaqi, a true muttaqi, you'll find this individual is harmless. It's like, you know, an angel. And there are some individuals like that in the society who truly, like Malik al-Ashtar, the companion of Imam Ali and his commander-in-chief. Malik, one day a person hit him with a piece of date, you know, the pit of the date. When he was the commander of Imam Ali's army during the Khilaf of Imam Ali, the person looked at the man who hit Malik and he said, do you know who you just hit? What you have just done? He said, no, I was just having fun. He said, this is Malik, the commander of Imam Ali's army. This guy is going to withdraw his sword and kill you in a strike, in a second. So this guy was like, oh my God, what have I done? He immediately ran after Malik. He searched for him. He found him in Masjid al-Kufa praying. He waited until he finished his salat. He said, ya Malik, my apologies. I didn't know who you are. This was an accident, blah, blah, blah. Malik said, don't worry about it. I have forgiven you. I have forgiven you. And in fact, I was not intending to come to the masjid. But because you hit me, I came to the masjid to pray two rak'at salat, such that I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to also forgive you as well. Not just me. This is the akhlaq. So a person in such manner, in such characteristic, you don't worry about this person hurting anyone. You know, unless it is for the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In battles, Malik was one of the heroines. So, شُرُورُهُمْ مَأْمُونَ. They are slim. And some people, you know, when they read this last night, they were like, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Slim here doesn't mean that they follow the slim fast diet or the Atkins diet or whatever diet that's out there. And they try to really bring their stomach, you know, the way that they like to. This is, as we mentioned a few nights ago, because, again, of their thought about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their taqwa, they lose their appetite to eat so much. You know, as much as we eat normally. You know, we don't think about that. But as we mentioned a few nights ago, such individuals, sometimes when you have a bad day at work, you come home and you don't feel like eating anything. You just don't feel like eating anything. Even though you may be hungry, but psychologically you don't eat anything. Well, those people are in such state. They are psychologically tuned that they cannot eat much. They've lost their appetite. Because of their ibadah and their taqwa. It's a high state of caliber, as you can see, the status of taqwa. Not an easy thing to achieve. But Imam is fulfilling the wish of Hammam. He said, describe them to me as I am seeing them. I'm seeing one of them, the muttaqeen. So Imam is going into details and specifics. أجسادهم نحيفة حاجاتهم خفيفة. Excuse me. He means that they don't have many attachments in this world. They don't ask people for much. Nothing, you know. And there are individuals in the society who are like that. You say, do you need any help? No, I'm fine, alhamdulillah. Although they might need help. You might find them, for example, stopping at the bus station. You know, you say, you'd like a ride? No, it's okay, I'm fine. You know, I have some public transportation. The public limousine is going to come and pick me up. So there are such individuals in the society, the muttaqeen, since they are not attached to this materialistic world, they don't ask for much. And you see Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, like Abu Dharr, whom I mentioned last night, what a simple life he had. What a simple, he had two loaves of bread, and he said, one is for today, one is for tomorrow. That's all he has. You know, if he wants to move from Sham to Medina, he doesn't have to worry about renting, you know, a big truck to put all his luggage and his things and going all the way. Very simple. He walks by himself with pieces of bread or loaves of bread. That is to satisfy him. This is it. So, حاجاتهم خفيفة وأنفسهم عفيفة. أنفسهم عفيفة means they do not sin. Of course, they're not infallibles. But because of their thought about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like that young man whom we spoke of yesterday, the Prophet, when he saw that young man, Ash-Shabbul Muqin, and the young man said, Asbahtu Muqina, this young man says, you know, I see as if I am seeing the Day of Judgment, as if I'm seeing Jannah and Akhirah. Such individuals, when they're in constant reminder about Akhirah, they do not, then their sins are minimal. That's what anfusuhum afifa means. And here now we come to the next statement, which is of crucial importance. صبروا أياما قليلة أعقبتهم راحة طويلة تجارة مربحة يسرها لهم ربهم أرادتهم الدنيا فلم يريدوها وأسرتهم ففدوا أنفسهم منها. They had patience. And patience, according to Amir al-Mu'mineen, falls in one of three categories. There is patience when you do the ta'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, to pray salat on time, you must have some patience and some perseverance to do this. To do the siyam, which most of you are doing, to do that siyam requires patience and perseverance. In fact, one of the teachings of siyam, of fasting, is to teach patience. So it requires patience to do that. It requires patience to help others. It requires perseverance to help others. So, صَبْرٌ عَلَىٰ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. The second type is صَبْرٌ عَلَىٰ الْبَلَاءِ. When you are in the state of difficulty, Allah tests human being with different tests. And in the ayah we recited from Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah said He can test you بِنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. You know, sometimes by a loss of loved ones, sometimes by the loss of your wealth. Like we see rich people, especially in this day and age, mashallah, when the stocks are all turmoil, up and down, the real estate market is crashing, and people are just going out of, you know, bankruptcy, and there are governments being involved. Things can turn overnight. Rich people become poor, and poorer becomes the rich. It's a cycle. That is all a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a human being has the sabr, the ability to have patience during this time, that is the second type of sabr. The third type of sabr, sabrun an al-ma'asiyah, which is to hold yourself, restrain yourself from committing a sin. Wal-iyadu billah. Sometimes there might be a big business opportunity, but that business involves you maybe to cheat, to lie, money which is not halal sources. To actually resist all that money and to step back is not easy. Easier said than done at the time, especially when you're facing this. And we have throughout history great pious people who fell into that trap. In fact, there were three representatives of Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. They were his wukala. They used to collect money and send it to Imam al-Kadhim. So Imam al-Kadhim trusted them. They were the wakil of Imam. After the Imam got jailed, those three individuals, they were left with so much money, and then shaitan came to them. Those great noble people who were muttaqeen, the companions of the Imam, they said that the only way that we can keep this money and this wealth is by telling people Imam al-Kadhim is the last Imam, and that's it. And that's how they actually kept the entire money, and they established a new tradition known as al-Waqifah. Those who stopped at the seventh Imam. One of them was Ali ibn Hamza, one of them was Uthman al-Rawasi, one of them was Ziyad. Those people were actually pious people, companions. but because of money. So to prevent oneself from committing the ma'asiyah is even more difficult. And that's why Imam Ali says the third type of sabr is the best type of sabr, and the most difficult type, the one you will be rewarded most for. If you can, have the sabr from ma'asiyah. To have patience from not looking at the haram things, to have the patience to do the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command you to do, that is not easy. And we find, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, that one of the best examples of sabr, of patience, is given by Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And where do we see this? Now I will turn you to the third sermon of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, al-Khutbah al-Shaqshaqiyyah. Let us learn from his patience. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, my dear brothers and sisters, as some poets claim him, he was a mountain of patience. You want to learn about patience? Look at him. How? He says in the third khutbah, أما والله لقد تقمصها فلان وإنه ليعلم محلي منها محل القطب من الرحى ينحدر مني السيل ولا يرقى إلي الطير فسدلت دونها ثوبا وطويت عنها كشحا وطفقت أرتئي بين أن أصول بيد جذاء أو أصبر على طخية عمياء يهرم فيها الكبير ويشيب فيها الصغير ويكدح فيها مؤمن حتى يلقى ربه فرأيت أن الصبر على هاتا أحجى فصبرت وفي العين قذى وفي الحلق شجى أرى تراثي نهبا حتى مضى الأول إلى سبيله فأدلى بها إلى فلان بعده وشتان ما يومي على كورها ويوم حيان أخي جابر فيا عجبا فبينا هو يستقيلها في حياته إذ عقدها لآخر بعد وفاته لشد ما تشطر ضرعيها فصيرها في حوزة يغلظ كلمها ويخشن مسها ويكثر العثار فيها والاعتذار منها فصاحبها كراكب الصعبة إن أشنق لها خرم وإن أسلس لها تقحم فبلي الناس لعمري بخبط وشماس وتلون واعتراض فصبرت على طول المدة وشدة المحنة حتى مضى إلى سبيله. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen describes to us in this part, in this khutbah, about the situation he had to face and live with after the death of Rasulullah. What kind of a situation happened? The Prophet, peace be upon him, just shut off his eyes. The moment he closed his eyes, people left the Prophet, left Bani Hashim, and ran away to a place called Saqifa, to Bani Sa'idah. The people of Ansar, they decided to choose someone to be the Khalifa after the Prophet. Immediately. And this was only 2 months after the Prophet had gathered 100,000 of them. 100,000 Muslims were gathered in Ghadir Khum after the Hajj of Rasulullah, where he told them, "Man kuntu mawla, fa'adha Aliun mawla." Ali is your master, and people paid the allegiance to him. And the second Khalifa was the first man to come and congratulate him. "Bakhin bakhin laka ya Ali." Congratulations, Ali. You've become my master and the master of all believers. People gave them their allegiance. Even the woman, the Prophet said, "Bring a pail of water, fill it with water." The woman will put their hand into one side and Ali will put his hand into the other. This is how they will give their bay'ah to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Which is also showing, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, the Prophet includes women in the terms of politics as well. He does not exclude them. When it comes to bay'ah, he told them, "You should also do the bay'ah as well." So if we have the voting rights, he gave women their voting rights as well. Anyways, 2 months later, everything changes. And people forget all about this. And they, Ansar and Muhajirin, the people of Quraysh and the people of Medina, they start to have a dispute who to be the Khalifa after the Prophet. After a long story, Umar came and shook the hand of Abu Bakr, and the first Khalifa became the Khalifa of the Muslims. By that time, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen was busy, you know, washing the Prophet, peace be upon him, putting the coffin on the Prophet, burying the Prophet. All that process, and Bani Hashim were busy, people then forgot all about that and elected themselves the first Khalifa. And Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen says, the first Khalifa wore the Khilafa, you know, like a dress, like a shirt. He put it on like a shirt. In other words,
He took hang of it and he never let go of it. Even though he knows, I'm the central part of Khilafah. I am the core of Khilafah. The Prophet has insisted and told people about me from day one. I was with the Prophet and I prayed before any of the Muslims prayed. I was with the Prophet before any of the Muslims were with the Prophet. He would tell them this, but people just forget about all this. He says, so he knows I am the core. The knowledge flows from me. That's where knowledge comes from me. Referring to what? أَنَا مَدِينَةُ الْعِلْمُ وَعَلِيٌّ بَابُهَا فَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْمَدِينَةَ فَلْيَأْتِهَا مِنْ بَابِهَا. I am the city of knowledge and Ali is the gate. So whomever wants to enter the city has to go through the gate. It is said that one of the companions, after the Prophet said this hadith, one day came to the masjid of Rasulullah, and usually it was the tradition of the companions, whomever enters the masjid, if the Prophet is sitting, they start giving the salam to the Prophet, and then they go do the salam to the rest of the individuals. This man, this companion, he entered the masjid, he saw the Prophet sitting down, Amir al-Mu'mineen Imam Ali sitting next to him, and there are some other companions. He first went and gave the salam to Imam Ali, and then he went and gave the salam to the Prophet. Some of those companions sat next to the Prophet. They said, what have you just done? You've just insulted the Prophet. Why did you come to Ali first and then the Prophet? He said, because the Prophet says, أَنَا مَدِينَةُ الْعِلْمُ وَعَلِيٌّ بَابُهَا فَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْمَدِينَةَ فَلْيَأْتِهَا مِنْ بَابِهَا. So I am going through the city, to the city through the gate. I went through the gate first and then I came to the city itself. So Imam Ali is reminding people of this. When he says, عَلَّمَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَلْفُ بَابٍ لِلْعِلْمِ لِكُلِّ بَابٍ أَلْفُ بَابٍ. The Prophet taught me 1,000 gates of knowledge. Every gate has another branch, 1,000 branch to it. Imagine, this is all from Rasulullah given to the Prophet, given to Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayhi. And then he says, and no matter how much people learn and educate, they cannot achieve the knowledge that I have. That cannot be achieved. وَلَا يَرْقَى إِلَيَّ الطَّيْرِ. And then, so what shall I do? فَسَدَلْتُ دُونَهَا ثَوْبًا وَطَوَيْتُ عَنْهَا كَشْحًا. So then I found that there is no option but for me to leave it aside, let it go, and to stay away from all this hassle and all this chaos that is happening. Why? He says, because I was left with two options. فَطَفِقْتُ أَنْ أَرْتَئِي بَيْنَ أَنْ أَصُولَ بِيَدٍ جَذَّاءَ أَوْ أَصْبِرَ عَلَى طِخْيَةٍ عَمْيَاءَ. Shall I either withdraw my sword and fight for my right, but fight with whom? There is no one to support me, no one to help me. It is said after the wafat of the Prophet, a handful of people were left with Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, handful. From the thousands of Muslims, a handful. Is this a surprise, one may ask? And we say no. Because in the Battle of Uhud, how many people were left with the Prophet? 7. And the Prophet was calling them. وَالرَّسُولُ يَدْعُوكُمْ. Quran says, the Prophet is calling you, come back, come back. But the Muslims ran away and they didn't really care. Run for your life, like you know one says. They all ran away. 7 people, including one woman, stayed with the Prophet, peace be upon him. 6 men and a woman, defending the Prophet. And Imam Ali started to fight and defend with the alongside with the Prophet until they managed to pull the Prophet out and get him into safety zone. Otherwise, the Prophet would have been killed in that battle. 7 people. The same thing happened in the Battle of Hunayn. وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُمْ مُدْبِرِينَ. The day of Hunayn, what happened in the Battle of Hunayn is that the Muslims went to fight, the Kuffar started to fight from the mountain, so they started shooting arrows and stuff. The Muslims were like, it's raining, you know, arrows, let's run. And they ran, just like they did in the Battle of Uhud, exactly the same thing. They all left the Prophet. The only difference is in the Battle of Hunayn, Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayhi, he looked around and he saw which person is carrying the banner of the mushrikeen. And back in those days, the one who carries the banner is extremely important. As long as the banner, there were no, like, you know, communications and cell phones and, you know, radios for people to communicate. The commander, the only way the commander can communicate to his army and tell them that we're actually fighting and we're winning is by the banner staying up. If the banner falls down on the ground, it means the army is starting to lose. So what Imam Ali did, Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, he looked around, he saw which person from the enemy side is carrying the banner. He ran after him like a lion, and he killed him. Took the banner, broke it, and threw it to the ground. The mushrikeen, although they were winning, but when they saw like, uh-oh, the banner is down. So are we losing now the battle? Psychological war. They started to feel that they're losing the battle. The Muslims started to win. When the Muslims saw that, you know, they're starting to win, those people who ran away said, okay, let's go back now. Now it seems like it's safe. Let's go back and fight. And hence, Allah blamed them for what happened in Surah At-Tawbah. ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُمْ مُدْبِرِينَ Allah says, you ran away. So we have more than one occasion where the Muslims left the Prophet all by himself and ran away. And in this case, it's no surprise. Now that the Prophet, peace be upon him, has died and left this world, people thought, this is it. Now we can do whatever we want. And so they ignored his message and his commands. And Imam Ali was left with only a handful of people. So he said, what shall I do? Shall I rise and fight? Walaykum salam wa rahmatullah. All alone? Or should I have patience? And Imam says, I found that it is best for me to have patience. You know, the Muslim nation is still very young. The Roman Empire is trying to fight the Muslims. The Persian Empire is trying to fight the Muslims. It is not in the best interest of Islam and the faith to have a civil war right there and then. And plus, he is all by himself. If he actually raises his hand and raises his sword to fight, he'll be killed and everything will be just kept aside and shoved aside. No one will even pay attention. So what can he do? He said, فَصَبَرْتِ. But what kind of patience, my dear brothers and my dear sisters? And the Imam is graphic in here. He says, the patience I had was like when you have something in your eye that's constantly bothering you and you keep on itching it and itching it. How irritating it is. He says, that's the type of patience I had. And I don't know how many of you had fish, and sometimes the bone of the fish might get stuck in your throat, which is very irritating. He says, that was the kind of patience, as if I had a bone stuck in my throat the whole time. فَصَبَرْتُ وَفِي الْعَيْنِ قَذَى وَفِي الْحَلْقِ شَجَى أَرَى تُرَاثِيَ نَهَبَى. It is so difficult when you see your own right be it taken away from you, right before your eyes. We have met some people who used to live in Iraq during the time of Saddam. And they tell us how it is that, you know, Saddam would send some of his men and they would drag them out of their homes, the homes that we're living in for like, you know, centuries sometimes. They would drag them out of their homes and throw them into the streets. Go out. This now belongs to us. And they tell you that it was so agonizing when you see your own house being taken away from you and you can't do anything. And you just see, you just stare at it right there. He says, this is how I was. I was looking at my own right taken away from me and I'm just looking at it without being able to do anything. And then he says, what a surprise. And my dear brothers and my dear sisters, when the first Khalifa came to power, he told people around him, use whatever means necessary to make people pay the allegiance to us. Force, use force. Fighting, use fighting. Sword, use the sword. Killing, kill people. And in fact, Khalid ibn al-Walid was sent in a mission to get the allegiance from a group of people, a tribe, who were headed by Malik bin Nuwayra. Khalid went and killed the head of the tribe because he refused. They refused to pay the allegiance. You know, how can we pay the allegiance to a man other than whom the Prophet had dictated to? Ali ibn Abi Talib. He killed him and then he married his wife on the same night. When he came back, the second Khalifa told the first Khalifa, he said, you're going to have to punish Khalid. You have to punish him. Even the second Khalifa went against it. The first Khalifa, and this is narrated, by the way, in Sharh ibn Abi al-Hadid al-Mu'tazali, who's a non-Shia scholar. Read his interpretation. He narrates all these stories. He says, the first Khalifa told the second Khalifa, let it go. He is not the first person to make a mistake. You know, it's a mistake, big deal. Let it go. People have been killed. Wal'iyadu billah. Religion have been violated. And it's a mistake. Let it go by. And they let it go by. Let it fly. So my dear brothers and my dear sisters, it is no surprise sometimes when we see people who follow the tradition of those khulafa using the same type of mentality where you're either with us or against us. And if you're against us, That's it. You deserve to have anything been done to you. Nonetheless, Imam says, and what a surprise it is, when the first Khalifa in one occasion said, I am quitting. In one occasion, the first Khalifa said, I'm quitting this whole thing, this whole Khilafah. Aqiluni, aqiluni. Quit, I'm quitting it. He said, when he was quitting it in his lifetime, how could he assign it to someone else after his death? How could he give it to someone else when he knows he was not the rightful individual to have it in the first place? فَيَا عَجَبَا فَبَيْنَا هُوَ يَسْتَقِيلُهَا فِي حَيَاتِهِ إِذْ عَقَدَهَا لِآخَرَ بَعْدَ وَفَاتِهِ لِشَدِّ مَا تَشَطَّرَ ضَرَعَيْهَا. This is out of how much they loved the Khilafah. They loved it. They want this kingdom. They want to be caliphs. They want to be recognized. It is said in a hadith that the Imam was asked, Imam al-Askari alayhi salam, the first and the second man, did they become Muslims willingly or forcefully? Was it by their choice or was it by force? And the Imam thought for a second and replied, he said, they became Muslims for greed, neither by willing, neither by force, but for one sake, greed. For Khilafah. And indeed, they played it around all very carefully from day one until they managed to make it happen. And if you take a look at the events of history during the time of the Prophet carefully, with careful analysis, you'll see how it's all been planned from day one until it managed to be successful. Nonetheless, Imam says, and then what a difficult task it was. It was given to the second Khalifa. And he says it was even more of a catastrophe. How? First of all, in so many occasions, the first Khalifa would make a judgment, but it's the wrong judgment. Islamic judgment. So he's teaching people the wrong thing. It is said one day, he said, people, I am hearing that women are getting more of a dowry than what the Prophet used to give to his wife. So if any woman gets more of a dowry than what the Prophet used to give his wife, I'm taking it back. Any extra money belongs to us, the government. A lady got up and said, hold on. This is not your right. You cannot do this to us. Because Allah says, وَمَا وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. Whatever you give a woman for dowry, you cannot take anything back from it. So are you going against the Kitab of Allah, you know, the Book of God? He said, and this is again Ibn Hadid, he narrated, he said, كُلُّ النَّاسِ أَفْقَهُ مِنْ عُمَرْ حَتَّى رَبَّاتُ الْحِجَالِ. Everybody knows more about religion than myself, even women, they know more about religion than myself. And hence he said, okay, I take my decision back, I take it back, forget about what I said. And this happened in more than one occasion. One time they brought a woman. A man came to the second Khalifa and he said, I married my wife 6 months ago and now she's giving me birth. She gave birth yesterday to a child. 6 months. So I'm sure that my wife must have committed, wal'iyadu billah, some wrongdoing before my marriage and now she's giving. This can't be my child. So the second Khalifa said, you're right. We have to punish your wife. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib rushed. He said, hold on a second, hold on. Don't rush. He said, the wife has done nothing wrong. Allah says in Surah Luqman, وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ. The duration of the pregnancy and the nursing period of a child. وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ. The period of nursing a child is 2 years, 24 months. And Allah says in Surah Al-Ahqaf, وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. The duration of pregnancy and nursing together combined, they're 30 months. So he said, if we take 24 months, which is the nursing period, out of 30 months, that leaves us with how much? 6 months. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he used the least period of a healthy pregnancy, which is 6 months. And we have a hadith that Imam Hussein was born at 6 months. And also, I have read in some of the book of Tafsir of Allama Al-Amthal, he says that he has read in some of the books of Ibn Sina, the medical scholar who is very well known. He says, Ibn Sina, I have personally witnessed women giving birth at 6 months. So Ibn Sina has also said, I've personally seen this happen. And hence, He told the second Khalifa that this lady has done nothing. He turned to the man and he said, this boy is indeed your son. So don't worry about it. He's your son. And it is said when he grew up, the boy indeed started to really resemble the father. So when they saw this, the man used to praise Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib for saving his wife and his child. So this was the kind of problem. When people saw such events happening from the Khalifa himself, then of course their own religion started to get shaky and they got into problems. But he says, Imam Ali said, I also had patience. فَصَبَرْتُ عَلَى طُولِ الْمُدَّةِ وَشِدَّةِ الْمِحْنَةِ. I get patient. And then the third Khalifa came, and the events that happened with the third Khalifa, how the second Khalifa, you know, chose six people. And it's interesting because the second Khalifa was killed in the Salat as well, when he was praying. But look at the difference. When the second Khalifa was stabbed, the words he uttered, he said, "Ah, لَقَدْ قَتَلَنِيَ الْكَلْبِ أَجَلَّكُمُ اللَّهِ." With all due respect, the dog has killed me, so catch him. And they catch him. They caught him. 3 days later, the second Khalifa passed away, but he said that, I will leave you with six individuals. You guys choose among these six, one Khalifa to rule you. Who are the six? Ali ibn Abi Talib, Uthman ibn Affan, Talha, Zubair, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, and Abdul Rahman ibn Awf. Well, it's very interesting among the, you know, dynamics of these six, because Sa'd and Abdul Rahman come from the same tribe. Talha, he comes from a tribe that hates Bani Hashim. And Uthman, of course, he's from Bani Umayyah. He's the brother-in-law of Abdul Rahman ibn Awf. There are only two people left, Zubair and Imam Ali, who were cousins. And Umar said, after 3 days, if those people do not come to a conclusion on who's going to be the Khalifa, kill them all. MashaAllah, what democracy we have, alhamdulillah. No, I was like, you know, alhamdulillah, Umar was not in charge of the American primaries, you know, when they had Obama and Hillary, you know, for like 6 months head to head, you know. If he was in charge, he's like, you know, 2 days, 3 days, and that's it, man, you know, it's over. So, kill them all. If they become 4-2, see which side is Abdul Rahman ibn Auf on, and kill the other two. Well, of course, the only other two will be Imam Ali and Zubayr. He said, kill them all. If they're 3-3, see which side is Abdul Rahman, kill the other three. And indeed, after 3 days, Abdul Rahman chooses Uthman, his own brother-in-law, to become the Khalifa of Muslims. And there, mashallah, Bani Umayyah were so happy. After all these years, Abu Sufyan was still alive. And then he goes to the grave of Hamza, and he kicks the grave of Hamza, and he says, what we fought against you for in Uhud, we just got hold of it now. And that is kingdom. Kingdom. The monarchy. Now we got it back in our hands. So this was Abu Sufyan, and this is how Bani Umayyah, Muawiyah became richer and richer, Marwan ibn al-Hakam became richer and richer, and they all grew in so much wealth that the people became so upset with the Khalifa for stealing so much money from the Muslims that they went and they murdered him. And then they were left with no choice. After 25 years of deviation from the Sirat al-Mustaqim, people were fed up and finally came up to Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib and said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, please accept. They begged him. Imam Ali said, after all these years, now you're asking me to come the Khalifa? Now? They said, please. He said, okay. So now that he had the supporters, he became the Khalifa. And he says, the minute I became the Khalifa, فَلَمَّا نَهَضْتُ بِالْأَمْرِ نَكَثَ الطَّائِفَةِ وَمَرَقَتْ أُخْرَى وَقَصِطَ آخَرُونَ وَكَأَنَّهُمْ لَمْ يَسْمَعُوا كَلَامُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى حَيْثُ يَقُولُ تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًّا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ بَلَى وَاللَّهِ سَمَعُوهَا وَوَعُوهَا وَلَكِنْ مَاذَا حَلِيَةُ الدُّنْيَا فِي أَعْيُنِهِمْ وَرَاقَهُمْ زِبْرِجِهَا. He says, the minute I became the Khalifa, a group of people who paid allegiance to me, they reverted back and fought against me. And those, of course, were led by Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha in the Battle of Jamal. And that was a disastrous battle. Thousands of Muslims died in that battle. The minute he finished with her, then Muawiyah now raised a war and fought against Imam Ali in the Battle of Siffin, that terrible, disastrous war. and where Ammar ibn Yasir was murdered in that battle, and Uwais al-Qurani was murdered in that battle. Those were great companions. And then the Khawarij came out and they fought against Imam Ali in the Battle of Nahrawan. Until Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, my dear brothers and sisters, when he went back to fight, he wanted to go back to fight Muawiyah again, he was left with no companions, no helpers. And it is written in Nahj al-Balagha, Imam Ali said one day on the manbar, he's sitting on the manbar and he's shouting at his companions. He says, Ya ashbah al-rijal, walastum bi-rijal. He says, you claim to be men, but you're not acting like men. You're acting like children. I tell you, let's go fight. And you tell me, no, it's summertime. It's too hot. Wait until winter. Winter comes. No, it's too cold. Let's wait until summer. He said, Laytani lam a'rifkum. I wish I had not known you. Laqad mala'tum qalbi qayha. You've hurt me so much, you people. And then one day he was on the manbar and he started to cry. قال أين عمار أين ابن التيهان أين ذو الشهادتين Where are my companions, the faithful ones? They all got killed, either in Jamal or in Safin. Where are my companions? Imam Ali, Imam al-Muttaqin, is crying on the manbar, wanting his companions. Then they poisoned his companion, Malik al-Ashtar. He was poisoned. Muhammad, the son of Abu Bakr, who was a Shia, was poisoned. And the news kept on reaching him, one after the other. Until he said, Ya ayyuha al-mawtu alladhi laysa bitariki, araka qad afnayta kulla khalili, araka basiran billadhina uhibbuhum, wa ka'annaka tas'a nahwahum bidalili. He says, Oh death, that you're not leaving me alone. Why are you going after those companions whom I love? As if you know, you have a navigation system, going after them one after the other. To the point, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, where Amir al-Mu'mineen became in so much pain and agony that he used to pray, My Lord, when are you going to send the man who is the most wicked individual that will hit me on my head where my beard will be dyed of the blood coming from my forehead? And my dear brothers and my dear sisters, look at the patience of Amir al-Mu'mineen. After all this, his ibadah, his taqwa, his piety was never shaken. And on this night, the same night as tonight, Kulthum says, Imam Ali, spend the night at my house, at my place. She said he spent the whole night praying, worshipping, reading Quran, the same night just like every other night. But this night, she said it was special. Because every moment, every hour or so, he would come out of his room, he'd look at the stars, and he would say, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And then he would go back to his room. Comes back an hour later, looks at the stars again, and he says, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. When he goes back, Kulthum said, I'd asked my father, What is the matter, Ya Abata? Why do you say Inna lillah? What's going on? Qala bunayya. إن أباك خاض الأهوال وقاتل الأبطال ولم يدخل في قلبه رعب كما هو في مثل هذه الليلة وليس ذلك إلا لقرب القدوم على الله ما كذبت ولا كذبت هي الليلة التي وعدت بها
Kulthum, your father has fought the most difficult wars and I have faced the most fierce and bravest of men. I never felt so much fear like the fear I'm feeling tonight in my heart. And Kulthum, this is the night that my beloved Habibi Rasulullah has told me that I will be hit and struck بِسَيْفِ أَشْقَى الْأَشْقِيَا. The most wicked man in history will be striking me tonight, Ya Kulthum. Then he says, he went back and to continue his salat and his ibadah. Kulthum said, at the time of Sahar, I brought my father Amir al-Mu'mineen some food. I brought him a glass of milk, I brought him some of the dates and some salt. She said, when he looked at this, he said, Ya Kulthum, why do you bring me so much food? Two plates, one milk and a plate? No, take the milk away. And he took a little bit of the dates and a little bit of the salt and he said, Inna alhamdulillah, and he wiped on his stomach, وَقَالَ تَعْسًا لِمَنْ أَدْخَلَتْهُ بَطْنُهُ النَّارِ Woe upon he who, because of his stomach, enters into the قائما وقاعدا. وقت الفجر خرج من حجرته وكانت هناك مجموعة من الإوز أهديت للإمام الحسين، فلما رأينا الإمام صحنا ونحن، فجاءت أم كلثوم لتسكتهن، فقال يا أم كلثوم دعيهن، إنهن صوائح يتبعهن نوائح، وفي غداة غد يقع القضاء المحتوم. He left his room, then he wanted to head to the masjid. As he got to the door of the house, he wanted to open the door. He had a belt. His belt, you know, became loose. So as he was tying the belt, he started to mourn himself and remind himself of the death that is approaching him very soon. شد حزامه وهو يقول أشدد حيازيمك للموت فإن الموت لاقيك ولا تجزع من الموت إذا حل بناديك كما أضحكك الدهر كذاك الدهر يبكيك. ثم توجه إلى المسجد وهو ينادي الصلاة الصلاة يرحمكم الله. حتى دخل المسجد رأى اللعين ابن ملجم نائما على بطنه، قال له يا هذا إن الأمر الذي تهم به يهتز من هوله العرش. ثم توجه إلى محرابه سلام الله عليه، كبر سلام الله عليه وأذن، وكان إذا أذن ترتج حيطان المسجد وكأنها تسبح وتكبر وتهلل معه. ثم وقف يصلي نافلة الصبح. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen came to the masjid calling people for salat. The minute he enters the masjid, he finds Abdul Rahman ibn Muljim sleeping there in the masjid. And he turns to him and he tells him, the deed that you're planning to commit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels, they are all in such a big calamity that will be falling upon the angels for what the deed that you're planning to do. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, Allah, Allah. Then he started to do the adhan, and it is said when he did the adhan, as if the walls of the masjid were shaking. And then he started to pray Salatul Nafila, the Nafila of Salatul Subh, the two rak'at. He said his takbir. He started to recite Surah Al-Hamd, followed by a short surah. He went to ruku'. ثم نزل إلى السجود رفع رأسه من السجدة الأولى قائلا الله أكبر. نزل إلى السجدة الثانية لما رفع رأسه من السجدة الثانية وإذا بالإمام يرى بريق السيوف وصوت المنادي ينادي الحكم لله لا لك يا علي. وإذا بسيف المراد اللعين يهوي على أم رأس الإمام. When he got up from the second sajda, Abdul Rahman struck him with his poison sword on his head. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen fell to the ground. He said, Bismillah wa billah wa ala millati rasulillah inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Fuztu wa rabbi al-Ka'ba laqad qatalani ar-rajul. Oh people, I have won by the Lord of the Kaaba. Of course you're a winner, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Of course you're a winner. I have won by the Lord of the Kaaba. This man has murdered your Imam. And he fell there. It was here in the skies, Jibra'il shouting, Tahaddamat wallaya arkanul huda. قتل الإمام المرتضى قتل ابن عم المصطفى قتل أتقى الأتقياء بسيف أشقى الأشقياء. It is said the entire city of Kufa heard this voice of Jibra'il crying, and so did Zainab عليه السلام. بالله يا ناعف جعد قلبي ومرتايا يا ريت صوتك لا علي مر وسمعت تشنع دي ما تمم بمحرابه سجدت. بالله يا الناعف جعتنا بهذا المصاب. قال يا زينب ابكي وهلي العين، صاب المراد يبسفه وطرس نصين، لن سمعت صاحت خويا حسن وحسين قوموا تلاحقوا ابونا بالمسجد نصاب. Then the entire city of Kufa started shouting and crying, Aywa Imama, Aywa Sayyida. Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein rushed to the Masjid of Kufa and they saw their father bleeding with his blood on his mihrab. يا أسد يلترهبك قلوب العدوان، شلون ابن ملجم قدر يوصل لحدك؟ قتلتم الصلاة في محرابها. يا قاتلي وهو في محرابه. Brothers, sisters, participate in the lato. May Allah bless you, inshallah. Show your grief with Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. Everybody come forward and participate with Ahlul Bayt in their grief and their ahzan. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.